You know, I love missions, and I'll tell you why. As we were riding down the road from the hotel to Brother Randy's house, I began to think about, what if that, I see people sweeping with tree limbs, dirt floors, and no churches to hear the gospel. And I began to think, Lord, there am I. Why did I get to be born in Dallas, Texas? Or why did I get to live in Dallas, Texas and hear the gospel when I was young? And that guy right there, he's 50 years old and probably never heard the truth. Why me, Lord? And why you? But by the grace of God, there am I in Togo. But by the grace of God, there am I in New Guinea. By the grace of God, there am I in the Amazon. And so to get people to care is without price. And when we step foot inside heaven, I can promise you every one of you will say, I wished I'd have done more. I wished I'd have spent more time. I wished I'd have given a little bit more. We'll never be able to give enough. We spend more on our dogs and cats in this country than we do on missions. How will we stand before God for that? I don't know. But I know this, by God's grace, I'm not going to be one of those people. My dog's going to get no help when she's in trouble. She just might as well just plan on going to heaven. That's all I can tell you. If you have your Bible, I'm kidding with you, obviously. You have your Bible, Philippians chapter 4. I want to just draw your attention. This one word, verse 11. Sorry if I got the offering tonight, but and I was ready to go, and Brandon said there was no special. I said, okay, time to go. That's good. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, and not that I speak because I'm in need, because I've got to have something, for I have learned, and there's the key word, I have learned, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Contentment is something without price. It's two words put together, auto, archeo. It is the word self, and it's a self barrier as the root of the word. It's a barrier. I put up something around me to make me feel secure, to make me feel safe. So it's a self security. Now, he said, contentment is whenever I'm comfortable within myself. Now, follow with me. You might say, well, that sounds like self sufficiency, all except for two verses later. Notice, if you would, in verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So the contentment comes, and the word strengthen is in duomai, which is inward dynamite. We get our English word dynamite from it. So it's the inward dynamite of the power of God that gives us the ability to say, I'm good with this. It's the inward ability of God's power for everyone else in this room to say, I'm good with my marriage. I'm contented. I want to take just a minute, and I want to remind you that probably nobody in this room is like, if you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel 25. Probably nobody in this room is like this lady. 1 Samuel 25. This is going to give you three simple things tonight. 1 Samuel 26. I've given the wrong reference here. It's 25. That's right, 25. Notice with me, if you would, verse 1. 1 Samuel 25, verse number 2. And there was a man in Maon. 1 Samuel 25, 2. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. He's rich. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he's shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, the name of the man was Nabal. And the name of his wife was Abigail. And she was a woman of a good understanding. Now, get that word, good understanding. And of a beautiful countenance. She was beautiful, sweet-spirited, understood, could handle things. And the man was churlish. He was self satisfied, and evil in his doings. He was a mean, tough, self-made millionaire for his day. Didn't care about anybody or anything. And he treated his wife the same way. Now, you also know in this era that he bought his wife with goats and sheep. He paid a bride price, found the most beautiful woman and married her. And that was her lot. Now, I want you to notice, and this is something all of us in this room, I want to give you the encouragement and to realize that the power of God can help you be satisfied, can help you be contented in your circumstances. I've learned self-comfort level with my environment, with my circumstances. If I can change them, I will. If I can't, I'm going to accept them as the will of God. Notice, if you would, in verse number 28 of this same passage. Now, you know the story. David has kept this man's sheep when he didn't have to. David said, look, would you give us just a little bit of some sheep for my men that have taken care of yours? And Nabal was so wicked and sorry. He says, I didn't ask you to do that. You did it, and I didn't ask you to do it. And everybody has a servant that runs away from his master. He considered David as a runaway slave, and he ridiculed him. And David sent men and said, we're going to take care of this guy. Now, I want you to understand that there's two things that happen whenever you and I surrender to our circumstances and to surrender to our people. One, God can take care of them. He can either change them or can take them out. In this case, God took Nabal out. The question is, are we willing to be patient, wait on God, and do things God's way? Now, notice with me, if you would, in verse 28. So David is coming out to kill him, and she stands up for her husband. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse 25, she says, let not my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial. I know my husband is a man of the devil. I know he acts like the devil. Even Nabal, for so as his name, so is he. His name is Fool. Who names their children Fool? So you'll notice, if you would, but Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord whom thou didst send. She said, I didn't realize you sent these men to ask for a little bit of substance. And so notice, if you would, in verse number 27. So she rounds up foodstuffs and sends it to David's men, meets them on the way. And David meets her. Now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it be even given unto the young men that follow my lord. So she does what David asked. She does far more to protect her mean, sorry, no good husband. And notice verse 28 what she does. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of who? Thine handmaid. She took on the sin of her husband, just like Jesus did for us. This is the epitome of a godly wife with a sorry husband. And this is the epitome of the story that God can do anything. And so how is it that she's contented with this man? How is it that she is a good wife to this man that doesn't deserve her, that bought her? By God's grace, she was contented in her heart, and the Lord took care of it. Now, I want you to notice with me if you would, number one, we have to be comfortable with circumstances. In order to have contentment, we have to be comfortable with circumstances. If we can change them, we try to change them. We work to change them. We pray. We get on our knees and we plead with the Lord. We fast and pray. And if God does not change the circumstances, then we learn to accept them. And notice, if you would, we just don't make them worse. In other words, we desire contentment, but we don't create worse circumstances. We don't do what Rachel did when she saw her husband was going to give the blessing to Esau. She said, I'm not going to let that happen. I want it for Jacob. And so she made her son lie, and then Esau wants to kill her son. She created the circumstances. We shouldn't do that. We've got to learn to trust the Lord. God doesn't need our help to fix things. But we need the contentment of the Lord in our heart for our marriages. Now let me just say this. Everybody in this room is married to an imperfect person, if you're married. All of us. Now, I think if you're a Christian tonight, most of us know our weaknesses. And we ought to be diligent for the Lord to change those weaknesses into strengths. If you're growing as a Christian, you're letting the clear vision of God come into your life, and you can see things through God's word that you need to work on. And that is what God needs for you to do. But if you're married to someone, or if you're at someone at work, or there's a brother or sister that's just arbitrary, my encouragement to you is win them by your grace. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to see this passage. 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would please, very quickly. Remember, I said you work to change them, but if you can't change them, you learn to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to take care of it. Notice, if you would, verse number 1. Likewise, your wives, be in subject to your own husband. And this likewise goes back to Jesus. Be in subjection to the men that killed him. Likewise, your wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word of God, be won by the conversation of your wives. Behold, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear or respect. So in other words, the respect of the wife or the respect of the husband or the godliness of the people within the marriage makes an eternal difference in the lives of someone. So you have the most powerful thing that God has given to you, and that is your testimony. That is your sweetness. That is your grace. That is your ability to just continue to do the right thing under difficult circumstances. And that's exactly what Abigail had to do. And somehow she began to develop a peace by saying, Lord, I'm doing my best for you. And in trying to please the Lord, she was comfortable in her circumstances, even though she can never please Nabal. You know, there are some people that are never happy. They're impossible to please. So you drive yourself crazy trying to please them, but you can always please the Lord. So you take your eyes off of people and put them on the Lord. You know, the little maid that was taken captive by Naaman? How is it she had the measure of forgiveness? They raided her village and took her captive. And yet she cared enough about Naaman to say, there's a preacher in Israel that can heal you of your leprosy. How is that? Somehow she got past the bitterness of being stolen away. Somehow she got past it by looking up and saying, Lord, I want to please you. How did Joseph be comfortable in Egypt? I mean, don't get me wrong. He's in prison. He's not happy about it, but somehow he accepted it and said, Lord, help me to make a difference. So he wins Potiphar and his respect. And then he gets thrown into the jail again, and he wins the jailer's respect. And then he gets brought out of jail, and then he wins the Pharaoh's respect with the same attitude that he won Potiphar's respect with. Folks, the circumstances ought not to change us. We've got to change our circumstances by the spirit and the contentment of our hearts. And that's the way you change your marriage, is you begin to just say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to surrender my heart to the Lord. And there's some men. You may have an arbitrary wife, and so you have to surrender your heart to the Lord. And so, Lord, I'm going to please you. And you become very contented in your marriage, because you're trying to please him. And you can always please the Lord with a wholehearted effort. Now, notice number 2. You have to be comfortable with your circumstances. You have to learn to accept them. And so take your Bible and turn back to Philippians. I want to see this verse, if you wouldn't, verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, not that I need more. This is Philippians 4:11. But he said, for I have learned. Do you understand it's not natural to accept your circumstances? It's not. We all want to change them. But God puts all of us in work environments that we can't change. He puts all of us in situations where in a class, in a school classroom, or people around us that we can't change them. But we can change them by the light that we give off, by the joy that we give off, by the contentment in our heart. So Paul says, in prison I have learned, in whatever state I am, in whatever condition I'm in. And he says, look, if I've got plenty of money, I learn to be content in that. If I have no money, I've learned to be content in that. If I have no health, I learn to be content in that. If I have good health, I've learned to be content in that. I've learned self, within myself, to rely upon the dynamite of God in my heart to accept my circumstances and say, Lord, you've put me here. Help me to shine. All of us have different circumstances. All of them are different. All of them to us are hard. It was hard to me to watch Susan suffer, but I couldn't change it. So you accept it and say, Lord, help me to make her life as easy as I can. Help me to be as good of a blessing to her as I can, because I can't change it. Now, there were a couple of doctors, I wanted to strangle them. One doctor looked at me and said, Pastor Pittman, you have two choices. You can take your wife home and she can die, she can die here. Well, I don't have to tell you what I thought. My flesh, well, never mind. I just want you to understand, you have to learn to accept things you can't change. And all of us have them. And just say, Lord, help me to shine through this. Susan had 44 doctors. They all can't do the right thing. They're human. And when I watched them make mistakes, I said, whoa, wait a minute. Look, I'm the doctor. You just sit back. I said, no, look. And okay. And then sometimes I wasn't there. And then make a mistake. You know, Susan died from an overdose of antibiotics that I couldn't stop because I didn't realize it. It takes a while to say, Lord, I accept this. I can't change it. But I work to try to have the right spirit. And you know, I went back to the same hospital where she died, to the same to the same intensive care with someone the nurses remembered me, and there was a man dying in there, and they said, call this pastor. And they called me to go back and try to console this woman whose husband was dying. And I said, Lord, thank you that I didn't strangle that doctor over there in the intensive care unit. Thank you, Lord, for helping me not do that. I can't change it. You have to learn to accept some things that are not easy. So, number one, comfortable with circumstances. Paul said, I've learned. It's not something that's in my nature, but through the power, dynamite of the Lord, I've learned. Notice number two very quickly, content with, control the what ifs. Now, I'm not going to take and turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, not comparing things with things, okay? Don't compare your wife with some other wife and get discontented. Don't compare your husband with some other husband and get discontented. Don't compare your parents with some other set of parents. I wished I had those people as my parents, then my life would be easier. The Lord knows exactly what we need, and he allows certain circumstances, and you and I have to learn to accept those circumstances and say, Lord, help me to shine. And number two, Lord, help me to control the comparisons in my mind. What if I did this? What if I did that? If they're wrong, I'm not comparing myself, not comparing things with that I shouldn't compare. Let's just real quickly turn to 2 Corinthians 10. I want you to see this real quickly. 2 Corinthians 10. Notice if you would, I think it's a critical point. Notice 2 Corinthians 10. Notice verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, of the group, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So you better not, dare not, you'll never be contented if you compare your circumstance with somebody else's. If you compare your marriage with somebody else's, you make yours the best it can be. And Paul said, I have learned to do this. It's not something that comes natural. It is a spiritual learning. It's a spiritual growth that all of us have. Learn to pray for your mate. Learn to lift them up before the Lord. Learn to be like Abigail. His sin be upon me. And David looked at it and said, I'm not going to put his sin on you, but that's very gracious of you to say that. And all of us in this room, we learn to say, Lord, help me to take on the difficulty of my mate and help them through it. That's the best we can do. Now, you may not be able to do that. But we change the circumstances we can. We accept the ones we cannot. And we don't compare. Comparisons will never let you be happy. Never. And then third thing quickly is notice you learn to be content with your mate. You're content with your position in life. You're content with the person that you're with. And notice if you have your Bible, turn back over to Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 13. He says, I can do all things. In other words, I can do everything that I ought to do. Now, does God want you to be content with the person that you're with? The answer is yes. So let's work at it. Now, I want you to understand, if you would, he said, I can do all things through Christ. We can't do it within ourselves. Can't be done. But what happened, and I want you to turn back, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 25. I want you to see this. We'll close. 1 Samuel 25. Notice with me, if you would. I want you to see verse 36, 1 Samuel 25, 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he had a feast in his house like the feast of a king. He's totally out of control. And Nabal's heart was merry within himself, for he was very drunken. Wherefore, she told him nothing less or more. She was a woman of understanding. She said, I'm not going to tell him when he's drunk. He'll never remember it. Until the morning. And so the morning light came. She sat down with Nabal. She said, hey, honey, let me tell you something. Came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, that David came to kill him and that she had stood up for him, that his heart died within him. Who controls the heart? The God of heaven does. God gave him a stroke right here, a heart attack. But I want you to see the grace of God. And notice this, and he became as a stone. He's comatose. And then he begins sort of, he just kind of like staring out, scared to death. And then notice, and it came to pass about 10 days after, God gave him 10 days of grace to change his heart. Now, I want you to notice, young people, God may give you 10 days of grace to change. And if you don't, God has a deadline for everybody in this room. If you don't change, if you don't grow, then there's no reason for you to be here. And there's a deadline all of us have. I believe I got saved on the last day I had a chance. I was 14 years old because I'd heard it so much. And I'd put it off and said, Lord, I'm afraid, I'm embarrassed. And it's like the last verse of the last song, this is it for you, Pittman. I remember a story that J. Harold Smith, a great preacher, days gone by. He was preaching and he preaches a sermon called God's Three Deadlines. And one of those deadlines is a Christian that knows better, is a Christian that's one of God's children, and God has a line in the sand. And he said he was at a service and there was someone that sort of made fun of him. He said, you know, I sense that there's someone here tonight. It's your last chance. And I'm not taking any part of that. And he could see the person's face in the balcony. And he could see them raise their fist. I'm not listening. And he said they got in their vehicle. They went down the road. And just a few miles down the road, on the wrong side of the road, a drunk driver on the other side of the road came and hit them and killed them. And he said, I told them that night, I think somebody here, it's your last chance with the Lord. I just sense in my spirit that God has got somebody here in the service that you're at your deadline. Nabal was at his deadline. I don't think you can live the way you want forever and God accepts it. I think God has a deadline for all of us. He has perimeters for all of us. And if you cross that line, it's over. The Lord will bring you home. Nabal, he brought home. Saul, he brought home. Samson, he brought home. If you're not going to change, I'm taking you home. Now, I want you to understand, did you realize that Samson's in the hall of faith? I don't know how that works all the time. Maybe he got his heart right at the very end. But I'm just telling you tonight, God has a line. And it's important that you and I learn contentment. We can't do it within ourselves. But you have to accept your circumstances. You have to say, Lord, I want you to help me control my comparisons. Lord, help me not to control the what ifs, not to think what if this and what if that, what if this, what if that. You'll never be content. You'll never be happy. And then to be content with your mate. Lord, you've given me this person. Help me to be the best Christian for them that I can be. Now, every one of us can make a difference if we surrender our heart to the Lord and say, Lord, you give me the strength to do what I can do. And tonight, could I encourage you at work, be a light. In your home, be a light. But learn to be content. I have learned in whatever state I am, if I'm in prison, if I'm hungry, if I'm full, to be content. It is a learned ability. And tonight, if I could get you to learn to be happy where you are, it will change your life. That happiness exudes joy. That happiness, that contentment exudes light. And that's why most Christians don't shine, because they're unhappy in their lot in life. Let you and I be different. Let's be happy in our homes. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm going to ask the pianist to play a verse of Invitation Hymn, page 635. Maybe you're struggling with something at work, or you have a relationship, a brother or sister, somebody at school, somebody at work, or somebody within your own family, an extended family, and you're struggling with them. Could I encourage you to bring it to the Lord? Lord, help me to be content in the things I cannot change. Help me, Lord, give me the inward dynamite to shine for you. Lord Jesus, let us decide to have a 2020 vision of what you want for us. Lord, we know you want us to be content, and we can't always change our circumstances. Lord, help us to do the right things. In your name we pray, amen.